Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive and the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Yeah.
Let's go for a little ride.
All right. Well, we purged ourselves of the Illinois loss. Nick Hardy was like out enjoying himself in Hawaii. He wasn't worrying about that loss to Ohio State, but I know he follows the program. We'll talk to him here in a second about that. It is the drive with Say and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper. This segment brought to you by Game Day Spirit, two locations, Neal Street, Green Street. All your Illini apparel you can find at Game Day Spirit. Find them online. That's where you kids shop these days. It's GameDaySpirit.com. Nick Hardy, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
I didn't know if you'd remember me now that you're famous and, you know, just picking up all these huge PGA accomplishments. I just assumed you wouldn't know who I was.
Oh, get out of here. It wasn't too long ago I was hanging out in your studio.
And we loved it. Can we start with your dad? Your dad,
of course.
Following him on Twitter, I could only imagine what that's like for him, number one. But he is so fun to follow on Twitter, and you can feel the excitement. You can feel the stress, the pressure. It is just a must-follow to follow John Hardy. How quick were you able to talk to him when this thing ended, and how did he react when you ended up tied for 14th at the Sony Open?
Yeah, you know, I mean, my dad wears his emotions on his sleeve for sure, and it is, I'm sure, pretty fun to follow. He's always my last call before I tee off and my first call when I finish. So
awesome.
Every single round, that's the same way it's been since as early as I've been playing tournaments. So. Obviously he's my biggest fan, so I gotta keep him involved, you know?
Yes.
Nick, you worked your way through the Corn Ferry Tour last season, get back on the PGA, to come out and do that, how's it feel, man?
Yeah, it feels great. You know, I'm just happy to be where I'm at right now, with my game, and, I'm just blessed that I got that opportunity, to Monday qualify in and just have that opportunity to play at that level. You know, this past week, it's just a great treat, you know, to be able to play against the best, you know. So I'm happy with where I'm at in Corn Ferry, and hopefully I can get a couple more opportunities on the PGA Tour by Mondaying again for next week in Torrey. You know, that's what's next.
Can you set the scene for us out there? We're here in chilly Champagne. We've had some snow. I flipped it on, you know, you see palm trees and everything. What was that course like?
It was great. You know, just as advertised on TV, I'm sure it looked beautiful. Mm. You know, I can definitely, relate to that weather back home. I grew up in it. I lived it. Trust me, I know. But, you know, I was lucky to be out in Hawaii. It was beautiful. A great golf course.
I bet. Nick Hardy is our guest. I want you to take me through these rounds. You started out with a 69, then fired back Friday with a 63. You know, that's a tough day on Friday, especially when you look up after, I mean, a 69, who's scoffing at that? But you look up at this leaderboard and you see guys throwing 62s on the board, and, you know, you're seeing the low numbers in a tournament that I think every year pretty much produces low numbers. What was your feeling going into Friday to where you then turned around and threw out a 63?
Right. Yeah, no doubt. We got really perfect weather all week. It's pretty windy. It gets pretty windy in Hawaii, but some of the fellow pros told me that this is not a very windy year. So the scores were definitely lower this year compared to years prior. But I just knew, you know, obviously I knew I had to get the number, you know, four under once on Friday to make the cut. So I knew I needed at least three under on my Friday round because I was the last tee time on Friday. So I knew what I needed to do to make the cut, but, when you're trying to make a cut, it's better to set a number much better than just trying to make the cut. Because, you know, where you put your mind and where you put your mindset, that's pretty much where you're going to end up. So I was always trying to keep in mind that, okay, I'm this back from the leader, because when you set your mind there at higher heights, you'll probably end up there. So that's just, you know, something that, you know, another thing where I learned from Coach Small. But I knew I had to play pretty good golf on Friday, but I stayed really patient. I parred the first 7 holes, and I still never got too up or down or high or low. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just stayed patient, and I finally got some birdies going.
That's funny. I said that about you to start the show, that you, even in college, you always struck me as the guy that would never really get too excited or too down on yourself or the team. And I feel like that's got to be a great attribute now when you get onto the PGA Tour and it's all about you. So tell me, going into the final round, I mean, you only finish 5 shots off the lead. I mean, 21 under Kevin Na, we know he's an unbelievable talent. He finishes 21 under to win the tournament. Nick's at 16 under. So going into the final round, knowing that you've got a shot, what was that like? And what was the pressure like in, I mean, does this pressure change every round, or is the final round just a whole, almost like being a closer in baseball, just a whole nother level of anxiety?
No doubt. I mean, there is definitely a more emphasis on the final rounds, I'd say, because, you know, you want to finish strong, you want to climb the leaderboard on Sundays. That's the most important thing as a pro golfer out there, is you got to have good Sundays, especially when you're playing well on weekends. So, there is more of an emphasis for sure, but you can't like, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you can't make yourself too high or too low. I try to just, you know, stay at that even number. You know, Coach Small always talks about, you got to find your the right level you're at, like whether it's a 5 or an 8 on a 1 to 10 scale. When I was a young player, I was always higher. I was always an 8 on the inside. I was just amped up with anxiety and, you know, built up just like excited, like a football player, want to go attack it. But Coach always made me chill out and say, you know, you got to be more like a 2, Nick. You got to lower your level down.
Cool.
So I've gotten really much better at that since I turned pro, and learning that in school, learning what I play best at, that was huge for me. So I've gotten so much better at just staying more even keel throughout the 4 days, and staying patient out there, staying just laser focused, and trying to be the, you know, mentally toughest dude out there.
Nick Hardy is our guest, former Illini golfer, All-American College, tied for 14th at the Sony Open this past weekend. Nick, we know that Mike Small's meant a lot to you. You've mentioned him a couple times here. How much do you find yourself maybe within a round, or as you're kind of reflecting maybe in between them, on something that he said to you, or just kind of advice that he's given you along the way?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I always reflect on what I learned from Coach. There are just so many, you know, Coach, the number one thing that Coach teaches our players is that just how to be a professional, how to, you know, prepare yourself to have success on the PGA Tour. That's the reason why he coaches. You know, he wants to really help us. He wants to really help us succeed after school too, you know? So he really coaches us up to have success and be able to have success on the PGA Tour. So just learning, because everyone's different, just learning your own habits and, you know, what you tend to do on the golf course and trying to be better from that. That's really a huge key. And so when I was at school, especially when I was a freshman, I really learned my tendencies, my bad tendencies. And I you're always trying to fight the same bad tendencies, I'd say, as a golfer out there. So, you know, knowing them now and learning from that now, and I'm just starting to master them. So it's great to see some success doing so, you know, at the highest level.
Looking at the tour schedule coming up, the American Express is in California this weekend. Following that is the Torrey Pines. You mentioned wanting another opportunity to come along. What is next for you? Do you know that yet, as far as maybe when you get another opportunity on the PGA Tour? Kind of what does that look like?
Yeah, so, you know, when I got this opportunity this week after I Monday qualified, my goal was top 10 to get in the next week and kind of keep the train going. So obviously I didn't achieve that. I fell just short, but I am signed up for the Monday qualifier at Torrey Pines next week. That's a week from today. So hopefully I can Monday qualify again and get into the next week's event and play there. So that's what's next on my schedule. But you know what? If I don't qualify for that, then I have one more Monday. It's the Waste Management. And then I'll back to the Corn Ferry Tour. So, you know, I'm my mind's set on, you know, getting my PGA Tour card through the Korn Ferry Tour, but if more opportunities arise, then, you know, on the PGA Tour, then that's great.
Nick, didn't you get in on a third hole playoff into this Sony Open?
I got in a 3-for-1 playoff on the first hole.
Got it.
I birdied the first hole, and the other two guys parted. So I did get in on the first hole.
So how many, like at La Jolla, which back in the day when I did television, I called it La Jolla, and I had a viewer call in and say, Lon, it's La Jolla. I'm like, dang it. How many guys will be in that Monday qualifier then? And describe that a little bit on what we're looking for come like January 20, what would that be, the 27th? Or no, it'd be before that. It'd be like the 25th.
Yes, the 25th. Yeah, so a normal Monday qualifier on the PGA Tour looks like about 80 to 90 guys probably in the field, and you're trying to qualify with four spots. So there's only four golden tickets. You got to shoot a low number, just one 18-hole round, you know. So I'm probably thinking I probably got to shoot 8-under on next Monday to get in the PGA Tour event. It just depends on the golf course and how the weather plays out, but normally you got to go pretty low. Last week in Hawaii, I shot 4-under, and I was in the playoff, and it was pretty windy, so the scores weren't as low. But normally, you have to go pretty low to have any sort of chance.
And that's kind of what you described to us earlier. So that, in your mind, helps you. Look, if you went into it, now Nick Hardy is a whole nother level of mentally and physically athletic than Lante, but you said that you kind of go in with a mindset of a score. Because I would assume if you go into it with, hey, there's 80 guys out here, I got to be top four. I mean, that's daunting. So in your mind, you kind of set a goal of, all right, if I can get myself to 7 or 8 under and play myself only, then I'll let the cards fall, right? I think that's a cool approach.
No doubt. And, you know, I think that's kind of why I've been successful at Monday qualifiers. I actually do it every round. You know, like I set a number every single round of what, you know, what's my goal today? And I try to hit it. And that's the way I feel like I can be successful. Some guys don't like doing that. They don't like throwing, okay, I got to shoot a 6-under. Some guys don't, you know, that's not the way they succeed. But I've learned over time, you know, this is something I've done with my mom going way back in tournament golf, where I just set a number and awesome. I try to hit it. And that's kind of a way that I do actually find success. I like to set a number before the round. So I was actually texting my mom during, you know, the course of this tournament the last week. Every round I texted her a number of what my goal was to shoot. And, awesome. You know, it actually worked out pretty well this week too.
Say there again, moms are the best. As a dad, we always try to be the coolest, but moms are the best and they always will be. And listen, Nick, if you can get into that Waste Management Phoenix Open next year, I know this isn't for this year, but next year in 2022, make sure you're in that, because I'm going to that thing and I want to sit on that. What is it? The 17th hole. It's like the beer hole. It's like a par three that everybody just goes crazy, right? And the golfers, like, you want them to go crazy. I mean, I think that just is, that's got to be one of the coolest atmospheres ever.
It is so cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Hopefully we can plan that up next year, and hopefully, awesome. You know, it'll be Super Bowl weekend, and you're rooting your Arizona Cardinals.
Boom!
Out too.
What a weekend that would be. Holy crap. Nick Hardy, we are so proud of you, man. You have done nothing but make the University of Illinois proud. You are just a wonderful young man, and I'm so excited for you. I was so excited to see what you were doing. We were following along here Thursday and Friday, and then for you to have that Friday, of course, you played. I think you teed off right when we got off the air on Friday. So to see those scores Friday night, I was so excited. Keep up the great work, man. It is fun, and it's going to be fun watching your progression in golf and as a professional, because you're going to make it big, man. And I'll just never appreciate more of what you've done for the U of I and what you've done for our radio show. And good luck with everything, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I've really appreciated you and everything that you've helped with the Atlanta Golf and giving us exposure. It's really cool. So thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon, Nick. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Nick Hardy. He's awesome. He and Dylan Meyer were maybe two of my favorite guys to ever cover at the U of I. I mean, they were just so, number one, they're great at interviews. And Dylan, we know Dylan. I mean, he is just, you know him. He's a quote machine.
Yep.
And Nick is just so solid. You know exactly what you're getting out of him. I literally, it gives me chills to be able to follow these guys and to see them succeed at what they are doing. I just, ugh, I love it. Can I bring up one thing? I was on a Pekin Insurance trip one time in La Quinta, California, and we went out and played the PGA West TPC Stadium course, which is one of the courses that they will play this next week in the Jack Nicklaus tournament. There's a Jack Nicklaus tournament course and then a PGA West TPC Stadium course. We played that. And we went out. Now, Derek, this was back when I golfed a lot more. I've never been a great golfer, but I wasn't one to embarrass myself like I would today. So I'm playing all the time. So my mom's out there, and she's like, do you want to go play? We can jump in and play this TPC Stadium. And I'm like, no. She's like, oh, come on. I'm like, all right, let's go. So we play it, and I'll never forget. It was like hole 13, and I'm in the fairway. That was a miracle. That was like the first day or first time, I think, all day. And I hit a ball. I just absolutely, we all do it. I just worm burned one. It was a horrible shot. It went like 10 feet into the rough, and I'm literally 10 feet from it. So I walk over there, can't find it. We look, and I'm one of those guys, don't worry about it, just throw another ball down. Did anybody see? Nobody saw that shot. No, I'm kidding. So I'm over there looking, can't find it anywhere. So we get done with the round. I just want to bring up that one example of a rough. We get done with a round. They meet you out there. There's kids that come out, clean your clubs. And I'm like, well, that'll be the first time those have been cleaned in 3 years. So he's cleaning the clubs, you know, you tip him, they clean the carts and everything. And he goes, how'd you do? And I'm like, oh, crap, man. And he's like, can I say something? He goes, without knowing what kind of level of golfer you are, I'm like, yeah, you're not going to hurt my feelings. And he's like, you guys should not be out there. So what they were doing is the next week was the qualifying for the Q school. And all the Q school golfers were going to play at La Quinta at this PGA West TPC course. So they were growing the rough to like 9 inches. And I'm like, he just literally looked at me. He's like this 21-year-old kid. He goes, man, you guys should not be out there. I'm like, you're dead on. We shouldn't be out there because that was miserable. It was not a fun day of golf. I'll put it that way. And it gave me even more. Not that I didn't already have an appreciation for how good these guys are like Nick Hardy. It gave me the next level of appreciation of what these guys have to deal with. And can you imagine being one of 80 or 90 guys to show up to a golf course on a Monday? Four of you will be playing in the tournament that week. That's amazing. Well, good stuff with Nick. Happy for him. He had a nice little payday. He made in this weekend more than a lot of us make in a year. So I'm happy for Nick and can't wait to see his improvement and everything he does going forward. All right, Owen Carney is back with Illinois. When we come back, let's hear from Owen Carney. He spoke today. Also get into some NFL talk with all of the divisional weekend recap and, of course, leading into championship Sunday. I finally got it right next weekend. We'll do that all next. It is The Drive.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. The sale and clearance event is in its final days. For a limited time only, get some of our most popular styles for less. Shop dining room tables starting at just $199 and sofas starting as low as $349. Or get 0% interest for 72 months with no minimum purchase. These closeout deals won't last long, so hurry in or visit ashleyhomestore.com today. Only at America's number one furniture and mattress store, Ashley Home Store. This is home. Located at 602 West Anthony Drive, Champaign.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm Home and Auto Insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
will you be on the first Friday in February of 2021? Rob Dahlhaus here, Executive Director at See You at Home. And on that night, See You at Home will be holding our 10th annual One Winter Night Community Awareness event. With this COVID crisis still looming, we know our event may have to look a little different this year. But it's important to remember that even during a pandemic, our friends on the street need us. And friend, we could not do what we do without you. Please mark your calendars for One Winter Night 2021, held on Friday, February 5th. And thank you so much for your continued support.
Hey, Grandma, I haven't heard from you in forever. Why don't we message on the computer anymore?
I just don't trust the darn thing anymore. Viruses, people stealing my bank records. Why can't we just go back to the way it used to be? A handwritten note or a long Sunday evening phone call.
Grandma, you don't have to be scared of the internet anymore. Just contact Area-Wide Technologies, 359-8041.
Thank you, Johnny. Now, how about you message me that report card of yours?
Gotta go.
Mentors play a powerful role in providing young people with the tools to strive and thrive. Almost 600 CU community members currently serve as mentors to local community school children. Many more students are asking for mentors. A virtual training will be held January 26th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Visit cu121.org or call the Champaign or Urbana School District.
If you're looking for rapid COVID-19 testing, it's now available at Campus Town Urgent Care at Green and Wright in Champaign. That's 631 East Green Street. Get a test and know within 15 minutes or less whether you have coronavirus. Dr. Tom Plura at Campus Town Urgent Care personally calls all positive patients within 30 minutes to inform them and to answer questions. During the emergency pandemic, patient insurance covers the cost of testing with no co-pays or deductibles. Medicare and Medicaid covers the test fully. Appointments are necessary, but quick and easy. Never leave your car and results in 15 minutes or less. Go to covedtest.center to book your time. Stop missing work or waiting around for days to find out results. Go to covedtest.center to book your time for rapid COVID testing from Campus Town Urgent Care. That's covedtest.center.
Hey, it's not every day you get fired up to watch a Bruins Islanders game.
You know, I got to be honest with you. We've got a little bit of a battle going on here because I've got the Bruins.
Oh, no! You did not tell me that.
Yeah, I was keeping it from you.
Was that a Moneyline Bruins thing?
I got Bruins and Blues together for a Moneyline parlay.
Okay, so I have plus one Islanders. So if you win 1-0, I would tie, right? No, I would win.
Would you push?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I accidentally hit the spread against on this game instead of the money line. I was like, oh, no. That's okay. Why if you bet $2, you win like 40. On something like this, but all right.
See how it shakes out.
We're good. There's 7 minutes left. If you're interested at home, it's on
NBC Sports.
NBC Sports, and you can follow along as Derek and I get mad at each other for the next 30 minutes. Islanders, Bruins, scoreless. 7 minutes to play. Good stuff. Owen Carney announced today he's coming back. Derek, we talked about that. I know we had a couple of people on the College of Aces text line say, well, he might not be a very good fit in the 3-4. We don't know for sure that Brett Bielema or that Ryan Walters is going to play a 3-4, but certainly anytime you can bring a veteran back, and especially a guy, Owen Carney, that had 5.5 sacks last year, really finally, I think, in my mind, played up to what we thought he could be. For him to say, I'm coming back, I think that's huge.
Yeah, he was top 5, if I'm not mistaken, in the Big Ten in sacks this past year. And, you know, his previous 3 seasons, freshman through junior, had 3.5 sacks total. Finally figured it out last year, got the opportunity, but also developed his game to be able to get in the backfield and cause some havoc back there. And that's really, really important. Yeah, Ryan Walters has, to his credit, said he wants to really evaluate the personnel, and that's how he's going to develop his scheme and his system and what he wants to do. He's run multiple, as he told us on Friday, multiple different fronts. I'm sure that you get a piece like that back and you will scheme for him to be in a comfortable situation, something that he can do well at. So to get him back and have him not stay in the transfer portal, go somewhere else, that one is significant. There are some that come back and we say it's nice to have a veteran. This guy produced for you last year. That, good call. That one's a pretty big one.
Great call, Derek. And we're going to get to what his goals are going to be for this upcoming season and kind of what Brett Bielema meant to him in terms of really wanting him on this team. But you mentioned it, the transfer portal. He was there. What was that like?
My time in the portal was not that extended. You know, I believe it was a week and a half. And, you know, Coach B and Coach Patterson did a good job of calling me every day and staying on me and give me some reminders and tips about the type of place that I was leaving. And they made it known that this place is special and good things are to come. And, you know, at the end of the day, I had to look in the mirror.
Well, and of course, he did enter that portal. And why?
That moment in December, on December 30th, I was feeling like I need to weigh my options, you know, and see what was out there. Because if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have known what's out there to offer me and what can other universities and what can other coaches do for me as far as a plan and developing me. Because that guy, Coach B, we're going to have a great relationship this year. And, he has plans on developing me, and I have plans on trusting him and having faith in him.
It does seem, Derek, that, and this is Owen Carney we're hearing from, he has decided to exit the transfer portal and become an Illini for one more season, which is crazy, but it does seem like these guys, that Brett Bielema is saying the right things.
Yeah, he's resonating with these guys.
Yeah.
And I think that his success at Wisconsin and the Big Ten, there's a trust level there, and obviously just a guy that probably gets it. Done a lot of winning, so whatever he is selling to them is resonating, is making them believe, and that's good to see. And for Owen, don't blame him for in the portal.
No.
There's nothing wrong with having conversations with other coaching staffs out there, and when you have a new coach come to Illinois, or really there was a time there where there wasn't. You didn't know who that guy was going to be. Why not kind of evaluate what's out there? So that's well within range there. It's not like he was being disloyal to Illinois.
True. I totally agree. Now, we're watching hockey, so I'm going to go into a little hockey here, but it's nice to hear that Coach B really wants you, eh?
It felt nice to be wanted by them. After I did what I did, I know it wasn't back-breaking or anything like that, but, you know, some people would raise eyebrows at that. But the message that they sent to me that we want you, Owen, and you can help this program. That, you know, nothing more, nothing less. And another thing was the relationship that we're going to build is going to be forever.
And to be re-recruited by Illinois.
Yes, it definitely was another recruiting wave of 2.0. Other than high school, though, it wasn't too many giggles and laughs. You know, it wasn't no smooching going on. It was kind of some business, like, what should you do? Because this is the last 8 months of your collegiate career. And just it was some real serious talks. Most of them went over 50 minutes. So I definitely got almost an hour a day out of each of them. And I appreciate them reaching out and staying on me and not turning their back on them. Definitely appreciate them for that.
Owen Carney back with Illinois, and that's big. So we talked early about what are some of the goals he has. And Derek, I know, like you said, he produced last year, 5.5 sacks. There was the issue where it seems like he would have a really good game but also have 3 penalties and almost hurt the team a little bit in that, but always seemingly make it back up. What do you think he can do? With a guy coming back, there's a chance Isaiah Gay. We haven't heard from Roderick Perry. You've got these young kids and Johnny Newton, Seth Coleman, Keith Randolph, some of these guys. I mean, what do you think a guy like Owen Carney can do in a new system when he produced like he did last year in that old system?
That's a good question. You would hope that he's still able to be obviously productive in getting to the quarterback. I do like the fact that Coach Walters has talked about disguising maybe some blitzes and doing some creative things to get in the backfield. That would help free him up because there's going to be attention on Owen, the fact that he's the most productive pass rusher on that line. And you want when you think about it, no matter what level of football, if you think about one pass rusher, the other guy on the other side's important, or mm-hmm. having someone in the middle like Roderick Perry come back and get a nice push to where Carney's not getting double teamed every single time. That's important. So it'll be interesting to see how they utilize him, but you would hope that he's able to build on last year and take one more step forward.
What is the next step, Owen?
To be honest, Gavin, I'm not looking to set any goals. I just want to go out and be the best me that I can be each and every day. You know, if I do that, I know when I look up in December or whenever the season ends, I'll be satisfied with that. You know, I know that I'm talented, and I know what the coaches around me are going to put me in position, and I know they know what it takes. They've seen it before. They've been all around the country. So I'm just going to trust in them, keep my head down and work from January on out, and we'll see what happens.
Owen Carney, good stuff there. So number 99 is back on this Illinois team. I think, is that 10? I think there's 10 that are back. And I read from an Inquirer today, I think Jeremy called them super seniors because they get the chance, of course, to come back for another season. This will be the case in basketball, too. And you can look at a guy like Trent Frazier. You can look at a guy like Damonte Williams and say, all right, you have a chance to come back and play another season. And, of course, Brad Underwood would be more than happy, I would assume, to add both of those guys back. So interesting to see how it does on the football side. You and I talked all about how it's, to me, the perfect time to make a coaching change, which Josh Whitman did, because not only are you bringing in a coach, new blood, if you will, but you're also now handing him 10 or more guys that have been around your program for 5 years. Now, they haven't been around your Coach B program, but they've been around this Illinois program for 5 years. You can't beat experience. It's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Veterans that have won some football games, enough football games, no, but there is some talent there coming back, and that's important where you're not just starting a bunch of – we've seen what it looks like when you start 20 freshmen.
Yes.
And you don't want to be in that situation. So to give a baseline, to raise the floor of this team by bringing those guys back, and let's be honest, we're all interested to see if this coaching staff, Brett Bielema and company, can – elevate them to play at even another level or even more consistency.
Now, we've sat here watching this hockey game. And
how many
power
plays have you seen?
I know. The Bruins have been on two already. The Islanders are finally on one, so now I can relax. And now Derek is nervous as the Islanders, what is that, Stamos or whatever his name is. Ow! No, it's not Stamos.
Should also mention Tony Adams back.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Which is a huge piece, again, of that secondary. Daryl on the College of Aces text line, good point. Can't wait to see what the new coaches do with Marquise Beeson and Shimon Cooper. I agree. I mean, there's going to be some of these guys that you're hoping there will be, you know, maybe the coaching or just a different direction, a different voice will really bring the best out of them. All right, when we come back, the NFL down to the final four. We'll talk all about this past weekend. Next, it is The Drive.
Have you heard about the amazing variety of majors at the College of Aces at the University of Illinois? Are the students in your life interested in nutrition and families or animals and agriculture? Do they care about the environment? Do leadership and technology grab their attention? Introduce them to Aces. Here's how. Visit aces.illinois.edu/future-students for must-have info and virtual visits. You can also visit Aces Illinois on YouTube, filled with videos about courses and culture. Aces is more than meets the eye. Learn more. aces.illinois.edu. Long's Garage is the longest running auto repair shop in Champaign-Urbana, and for good reason. Whether you're looking for new tires from any major brand or think there might be something wrong with your alignment, come to Long's Garage for honest service from ASC certified technicians. They can help you with tire balancing, tire inspection, tire mounting, tire rotation, and so much more. All your tire needs will be fulfilled by the technicians at Long's, which is a Napa auto care facility, meaning you're in the best hands. Visit them today at 503 East Main Street in Urbana for tire service you can trust. 367-3942.
There's a lot of glass on your car, and sometimes stuff happens. You might need a new window on the driver's side, or your windshield has been cracked and is getting worse, or maybe you're driving down the road and something hits your windshield, causing it to chip. American Eagle Auto Glass in Champaign and Danville can help. They're local, they're reasonably priced, and they don't treat you like a number. You're their customer. American Eagle Auto Glass is certified by the Auto Glass Safety Council, ensuring they do it the right way and the safe way. Visit them at American Eagle BeaumontAutoGlass.com.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission requires specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Sarah Champaign is growing. The same quality, the same neighborhood, but a new name, new brands, and new opportunities. Here's Executive Manager Ben Quattrone.
At Sarah Champaign, you're not just a customer, you're our guest. And we're proud to serve the great folks of Central Illinois. Please visit one of our four fantastic locations, and we'll service your current vehicle or help you find your next dream car.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Visit SarahChampaign.com. That's S-E-R-R-A Champaign.com.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, let me tell you about CMI, Chemical Maintenance Incorporated. They can help your business stay clean this winter with all the snow, ice, and water. You want a good mat program at all of your entrances. For every 20 feet of matting, you can stop 85% of the dirt at the door. CMI can survey your facility and design a mat program for you, including custom logos. Stop by CMI on Bloomington Road or schedule an appointment by calling 217-359-6262. That's 217-359-6262.
As the needs of customers grow, Busey continues to expand its digital footprint, allowing you to bank when and how you want. Whether it's personal or business banking, opening an account, or scheduling an appointment, you can do it all from the convenience of home. It's called eBank, Busey's online and mobile banking tool. You can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, pay bills. The mobile app allows you to deposit checks, provide travel points, analyze spending habits. Ooh. I don't know that I want to know that. Find the Busey mobile app in the App Store or Google Play. Online account opening, save a trip to the bank, apply for the new checking and saving accounts online. I mean, simply put, Busey just makes this as easy as possible. They're here to help. Contact a member of the customer care team Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can call them 1-800-67-BUSEY for a personalized walkthrough of these easy-to-use tools. At Busey, they're proud to offer convenient digital banking platforms that enhance the customer's user experience. Visit Busey.com to get started today. Busey, member FDIC. Okay, while you were filling up your water, I did a little Chris and Muhammad for Trevor, who's going to join us for this NFL walkthrough. Chris sent in, he said, a side note to the Chiefs game, I think Chad Henne was the MVP in that one. Chris and Muhammad. Love you, Chris, man. You are the best. Chad Henne, what a... first of all, I was sitting there questioning Andy Reid's play calling with Chad Henne in. And then all of a sudden, on fourth and inches, thinking that Kansas City is just going to try to bring someone, you know, someone off sides, he goes for it. And, of course, when you have Tyreek Hill, that helps. But that was a gutsy call. Henne finds Hill, puts the game away. But, you know, obviously Cleveland didn't have any timeouts remaining. It would have been a tough chore for them. They would have had to score a touchdown. They were down five, I believe, in that game. Yeah, the final 22-17. So, gutsy call, though, still by Andy Reid to get that done. And without Patrick Mahomes, that was a little bit of a scary ending for Kansas City.
It was sweaty. For anyone that had an interest in the Chiefs winning that game, I shared in that a little bit. But, yeah, third and long, and the Browns don't have any timeouts, and you just figure that the Chiefs are kind of, you know, stuck in a situation where they're going to have to run the ball and punt it and give Baker maybe it's a minute left or whatever right. it would have been. But they go shotgun. Henny scrambles for 15 yards.
Incredible. Almost got the first down.
Almost gets it in the fourth and one. Not many have the gumption to throw it with a backup quarterback. I know it was throwing the flat, but if that's still covered, what does he have?
Right.
And it was nothing. Great call, and that's why Reed's won a lot of games.
Can I say this, too? And especially this year, I don't know why. I always just kept noticing, and I'm not sure exactly what the name of the official is that spots the ball on plays, but this year during Illinois games, there were a couple times they'd be like, I remember the Wisconsin game. There was one where the spotter, like, the Illinois had gained, like, an extra 2 yards, and they spotted it 2 yards back. And I'm like, what are you looking at? Like, you're right there on the field. And that spotter on that play was dead on because Henny goes to the ground. And in my mind, I'm like, no, he got the first down. But you look, and his elbow came down. I mean, that spotter was right. So I'm giving kudos to that dude. I don't know who it was, or girl, because I know there were some spotters too as well, females. So whichever that was, they did a heck of a job. Let's start with the Bills and Ravens. Baltimore's offense, man. Has the league figured Lamar Jackson out?
I think you figured him out. It's whether you can stop their ground game. If you can turn him into a passer and you put him in situations where he's got to beat you with his arm, then there are some issues there. There are some downfalls, and he has taken a step back from his MVP season last year. For this game to be 3-3 at halftime was really surprising. I know you got a really good defense in Baltimore, and Buffalo's defense isn't bad by any means, but Tucker misses a couple of field goals. And Lamar, the difference maker was the pick in the end zone.
Big time.
Because it could have been points for you for the Ravens, even if they settle for three. Buffalo goes back, takes it to the house. Their offense wasn't really getting it going a whole lot. I know Diggs had a good game, but Jackson to be 14 for 26, 162 a pick, it's not good enough. It's not good enough to get over the hump. You beat Tennessee, you win a playoff game, but he's got a lot to figure out to take that next step.
Should we feel bad for the Bills defense? Because we never talk about them. I don't think, and when I say we, I mean the entire media. We talk about Josh Allen. We talk about Stephon Diggs. We talk about Buffalo, the Bills Mafia. We hear all about this team and how cool it is, what they're doing, and you don't hardly hear anything about the Bills defense. Now, maybe I'm watching the wrong things, but this Bills defense, now granted, and again, you just described how Lamar can be shut down in Baltimore, but giving up 3 points to the Ravens, I mean, that's a hell of a showing by the Bills D.
Yeah, it really was. And to get the pick six, it was the play of the game.
Huge.
And the Bills defense was just good enough, barely good enough against the Colts.
That's
true.
You
had that final drive, but you were able to get the stop, and there was that fumble that probably should have been a fumble and it would have been over, but when you've won as many games as they have, it takes two sides of the ball to get it done. And when your offense doesn't put up, it seems like they've been putting up 35 to 40 in regularity. They don't do that. And you stand up and get it done against the Ravens team that a lot of people were talking about going into that and talking about the running game and everything. 150 for a Ravens offense as far as running the ball isn't a lot. It's not a ton. That's a regular day at the office. And for them to do that, they deserve credit.
Trevor, I want to bring you in on this one, on this Kansas City. I know we're going back to the Chiefs real quick and the Browns. What a season, first of all, for Cleveland. It was a year later, right? A lot of people, I think, and even Cleveland itself, thought last year would be the year that they would really show. Well, they did this year, and I was, even as not a Browns fan, I was proud of them because I feel for that organization as a Cardinals fan. I know where you're at. So for them to win, now, I know Mahomes gets hurt, guys, and you two especially have talked about how you don't have that feel that the Chiefs are the dominant team right now. And you'd have to agree, especially after this game. But with Mahomes getting hurt, there's a chance he won't play. If he doesn't play, I don't think they have any shot. Nothing against Chad Henne, who did his job as the backup and got him the victory. Did enough. But what do you think of this Chiefs team? Let's say Mahomes comes back and he's able to play. Are you still thinking the Chiefs get back to a Super Bowl?
I don't think there's any way he doesn't play, first of all.
I agree.
I mean, he didn't even look like he hit his head.
That's the thing. That's what confused me. I wonder if everybody out there agrees.
He was dazed for sure.
He was definitely dazed.
As we talked about off the air, it might have been because he got choked out.
I agree, because the guy that came in and hit him with his helmet hit his shoulder pad and his back, And then when he spun around, it looked like maybe his helmet hit the football, and maybe that can do enough damage. But I don't think his head ever hit the ground.
He got tackled around the neck as he was going to the ground. And, yeah, the look on his face when he got up, you knew that he was out of it. No, without him, they have no chance. Henny outside of the run and that nice throw in the flat. He threw an awful pick. I mean, it really did make things dicey there late. I'm not as confident. I'm very high on this Bills team, and the Chiefs' defense isn't elite by any means. They're going to have a tall task in stopping Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and what they got going on. So, I don't know. It'll be a great game. I'd lean towards the Chiefs getting it done at home and ultimately out-dueling them, but I don't think it'll be easy by any means.
At Arrowhead, by the way, you'll see some fans. I know the game we're going to talk about Packers, but Aaron Rodgers, there were 8,000, I think, there, and he said coming out it sounded like 50,000. He's like, it was the best feeling ever. So, Trevor, are you still kind of where you're at on the Chiefs?
I was regretting it in the first half. We said on our segment, I'm sure I'll look stupid as soon as the Chiefs come out and pants the Browns, and they were up 19-3.
Yeah.
And driving. Right, then they get the interception to start the second half, and you're like, okay, this is going to end 40-3. Thanks for coming out, Browns.
Right.
Obviously, Mahomes had something to do with that. And I did think Baker played pretty well.
I did, too.
I don't know that I'm fully on, like, watch out, the Chiefs are going to get bit in the butt, because now they're one step away from the Super Bowl, and you can twist the narrative of Patrick is back, coming off the concussion. He can't see out of his left eye, and he's throwing five, you know, I mean... I guess what I'm saying is it seemed like part of the reason with the Chiefs was that they were bored.
Yes.
And now there is a narrative to twist that they will no longer be bored because Patrick is injured.
That's a great point.
He's coming back.
Just a chance to get the Super Bowl, too.
Yep. Right. And how can you be bored in that scenario?
Amen. All right, let's move. Well, let's move on to the Packers. They win 32-18. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this is a good Rams defense. And the Packers scored 32. And Aaron Rodgers is good.
It was a good Rams defense, and you had no reason to tell. Didn't get pressure on him. I know Donald wasn't 100%, but no sacks in that game. Ramsey did not bother Devontae Adams. I know that the Rams ran a lot of like zone coverage.
Right.
It wasn't like he was on him every single play. But Adams gets the touchdown. Lazard had a big game after a really crucial drop. Was able to come back, and the Packers just pounded him on the ground. 188 and a couple of touchdowns, and... Yeah, it could have gotten away from the Rams a little bit more than it did, to their credit offensively. Cam Akers, who's a really good player, was able to do some damage on the ground. I know that's part of the formula, beating the Packers and everything. But
sure.
Green Bay is really darn good.
This was the only game I didn't watch much of, and I don't feel like I missed anything.
No, you didn't.
I kind of felt like the Packers were going to win somewhere between 10 and 15 points. Aaron Rodgers was going to do his thing. Goff is just a serviceable quarterback when he's healthy, and he wasn't. So, that's pretty much what happened.
I always get a kick every time, and I don't watch the Packers every week, but every time I watch the Packers, I get a kick how Aaron Rodgers can flick his wrist, and the ball is an absolute tight spiral 40 yards downfield. It's not fair.
It's not, no. Nothing about him is fair.
And I'm glad that I'm not a Bears fan when it comes to having to face him twice a year. That is not fair.
Can still extend plays, throw on the run, and like you said, put it on a dime. And there's still that play where he rolls out, gets Leonard Floyd in the air. I'm like, yeah, he's a bear at heart.
I mean, a guy like Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, they just run right by him. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to do that. So for him to fake the throw and get Floyd in the air and then run it in, I'm just like, I talk about this all the time, awareness. I think the best athletes in any sport have what's called awareness. They know at every second of a game where everybody is, they don't get too fast, they don't get too slow. It's almost like the game is going so slow for them, almost like Aaron Rodgers is like, okay, here's what I'm going to do on this next play in the huddle. I'm going to roll out. Leonard Floyd's going to be there. I'm going to fake in the air. He's going to jump, and I'm going to run in for a touchdown. He didn't do that, I don't think. But I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers said, that's what I'm going to do. And then he does it. I mean, it's sick. Okay, last game, Buccaneers-Saints. Probably Drew Brees' final game. Doesn't really have a great game. Never really threw it deep. Tom Brady, 2 second-half touchdowns. you've been on them all year. They're 30-20, the Buccaneers advancing to the NFC championship game.
Yeah, and I didn't think that they played all that great. You know, with the Saints, we knew that Breeze is limited at this point. And on that note, it was sad to watch him as he's going in the tunnel. It turns around one more time. You're like, you know, he's done.
Yeah.
He's done that last time.
Totally agree.
Bucks defense stands up, gets four takeaways. That was huge. Brady able to do enough. And, yeah, I've been high on this Bucks team the entire year. And to go into the Superdome and be able to get a win, that was impressive.
That's big.
To Derek's point, as a Bucks backer going into this game, you know, you kind of get a sense, even if there's a close game, if you have the so-called high ground or low ground for your bet, right? Like, you either feel like you're kind of chasing or you feel like you have the high ground, even if the game is tied.
Yes.
I didn't feel like the Bucks had the high ground in that game until, like, if at all, late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter.
Like, that's fair.
The Saints come out and score to start the third quarter in 17-10, and I'm thinking, like, okay, there's a way for the Bucks to win, obviously, but if you froze time right now, I would not call it like a 50-50 shot that they win the game.
Interesting.
But then, as Derek mentioned, those turnovers kind of helped them.
Yep, I totally agree. All right, real quick assessment of this. You've got Buccaneers, Packers, Chiefs, Bills. What do you expect in next weekend, Derek?
A ton of fun because they're two awesome games.
Mm-hmm.
Completely satisfied with any kind of combination as far as a Super Bowl matchup.
Good call.
Lean Chiefs at home. Think it'll be an absolutely great game. Bucks and Packers, I'm going to have to chew on a little bit throughout the week. My initial lean is Green Bay, to be honest with you.
Okay. I hate this because I feel like I should be shot for saying this, but I want Kansas City. You guys know I got a little bit financially on that, too, with regards to betting. But that aside, I kind of want to see if the Chiefs can redo, you know, win another one back-to-back. That would be interesting. I'd love to see that. I love that offense. And I know I like the Bills' offense, too, but I'd like to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I kind of want to see the Packers. Nothing against Tom Brady. I just feel like enough. Enough of Tom Brady. But, man, is he good.
Well, it's crazy. For as great as Rodgers has been, he's only won one. He's only been to one Super Bowl.
Is this like, I think I heard the 10th NFC championship game for Tom Brady. 10. And there's...
Sounds right, yeah.
There's
the first time that the Packers have ever hosted one with Rodgers, right? This is his first home.
Wow.
I thought I heard that. His first game at Lambeau for the NFC championship.
You got Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. You don't think you need a quarterback to win in the NFL? You don't think you need a quarterback to win in the NFL. There it is. I mean, those, and I don't recall who said it. Oh, it was Greeny this morning. He said those might be the final four for the MVP in football. Aaron Rodgers would probably win it. Patrick Mahomes second. Josh Allen third. Tom Brady fourth. And those four are what you have now in the championship weekend. It'll be on Sunday. I believe a 2:00 game is the NFC, and the AFC will follow on Sunday. Can't wait. Can't wait. All right, Illinois, Penn State tomorrow. Got to thank Nick Hardy. That was fun to visit with Nick. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, that'll be in this hour of the podcast, StevieJay.com, StevieJay.com. Also heard from Owen Carney, Brad Underwood. Good stuff. Thanks for doing that, Trevor. And we will see everybody. Basketball tonight, Baylor, Kansas. That starts late, like 8:00. Derek and I are going to sit here and fight over the third period that's about ready to drop between the Islanders and Bruins. Never before did I think that Derek and I would sit in here and watch an Islanders-Bruins third period with such intensity. If you want to see us fighting, drive by the studio now. It is The Drive.